right, you ready for the Word of God? Father, in the name of Jesus, we are hungry for the Word. Father, we know what's going on. We see what's going on around us today. But Father, I thank you that your Word has already told us and given us insight to exactly what will be taking place in the days before the return of Jesus Christ and before the church, Lord, is lifted out of here. And Father, before the Antichrist comes on the scene, we know that prophetically. We know it's in your Word. So Father, I thank you today. Open our eyes to understand and to see, Father. Give us revelation knowledge. And I pray today that we will not just be hearers of this Word, but we will be doers of this Word. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. There is a military term. Actually, it's amazing because God kind of dropped this in my heart, and then I looked it up. And the title of the message today is a military term that is used in psychological warfare. It is called War of the Nerves. I didn't say nerds. War of the Nerves. It is a military term for psychological warfare, and here's the definition. A conflict characterized by psychological tactics, such as threats and intimidation, designed primarily to create confusion and indecision or the breakdown of morale. It is a competition or fight in which someone tries to beat their opponent by making them worried or afraid. And throughout centuries, we know and we have seen, and we've probably seen war movies and movies like Braveheart and other things, and we have seen and understood that there is power in psychological warfare. Because if you can get inside the enemy's head, then you can defeat him. You get in his head, you can defeat him. Many of our military leaders have understood this weapon and have employed it many times to win battles. In ancient times, matter of fact, you can find this in the Word of God so many times, it is as simple as instructing troops to shout when they went into battle, and anyone facing the thousands of shouting warriors would definitely feel intimidated. Listen to this in 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, verse 5 and 7. And when the Ark of the Covenant, that means, when the Ark of the Covenant, which means the presence of God back in the Old Testament, came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly. You think we shout loud in here? Listen to this. So the armies of Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. The earth shook. I wish the church would get earth-shaking roar and shout back. We need that. I believe with all that's going on around us, with us, so many people operating in fear and confusion, in worry and anxiety, I think the enemy has stolen our shout. I think he has stolen our roar. He may not have stolen it, but he has suppressed it. And he says he shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Now, listen, the enemy, when the Philistine heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews mean?" Then they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God has come into the camp." Wow, isn't it amazing that the enemy can recognize the presence of God at times more than the church? Amen? So he says, God has come into the camp, and here's what they said. And this is exactly what the enemy says when he knows that God's people know that God is in the presence, in their midst, and they know and understand that God lives on the inside of us. And so they said, "Woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before." Woe to us. You know, it's amazing how the devil knows that he's been defeated. Demonic spirits know that they have been defeated. Demonic spirits don't procreate. Every demonic spirit that was present at the cross is still present today. They know they were defeated by Jesus. The problem is the church is still trying to grasp this revelation. God's people are still grappling with and struggling with, is the devil really defeated? Because we act like many times that he is not defeated. Because you can listen to the way we talk and the way we say things that is actually contrary so many times to the Word of God. In World War II, both sides used psychological warfare to try to get into the heads of their opponents. They tried to, they did it by radio. Those of you that were in the Vietnam War, the veterans that were in the Vietnam War, they'll remember one name, and that name was Hanoi Hannah. And she was annoying. Hanoi Hannah. What she would do is the Viet Cong would get her on the radio, and she would start spewing out her propaganda. And she would say things like this: Oh, soldier, so why are you here? Why are you trying to do this? Oh, so many people are being maimed and killed, and you won't see your families ever again. And it just, she was just saying all kinds of things that were going to happen. And so she was, what was she trying to do? She was trying to get into the head of our military. And so you need to understand that there is a spiritual analogy here. Because we have an enemy. Matter of fact, the whole world has an enemy. And one particular enemy that controls all of the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of darkness. And his name is Satan. Satan moves with great deception. He's got, as a matter of fact, the Bible tells us in 1 John that he is the deceiver of the whole world. When people live certain lifestyles and act in certain manners and do certain things and have certain behavior and conduct and stuff that is contrary to the Word of God, it is because the demonic spirits are influencing those people. When people come to us and we all of a sudden have these feelings, and you have feelings in your flesh and say, gosh, if I have these feelings, then probably this is the way I am. No, the thoughts come into your head, the feelings come, because demonic spirits can influence your flesh and they put things in your mind. This is the way you are. This is who you are. Don't let anybody tell you different whatsoever. Definitely don't let that pastor tell you that you're different. That's how the enemy works. You can find it in the Bible when the Bible says this concerning Judas, who betrayed Jesus. It says this. It says first that the devil put in Judas's heart to betray Jesus. That means he put it into his mind to betray Jesus. And then he began to follow up with it. And then the Bible says that when he betrayed Jesus, right when he was getting ready to betray Jesus, it says, and the devil entered him. See, there are people walking around today that the devil has entered them. Demonic spirits have entered them, causing them to act in ways that are very degrading. Extremely immoral. But the fact is, it's the influence in their lives. Because you get born again, Jesus will set you free. It doesn't mean that the devil is going to leave you alone, because he'll try to get you back. But Jesus will set people free. And then, listen to this, you stay free by renewing your mind to the Word of God. Can you say amen? So let's ask this question: who is our real enemy? Let's just see what the Bible says. Ephesians 6, chapter verse 10 through 13. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the wiles, the schemes, the deceptions, the plans of the devil. It is the devil that deceives. It's a devil that plans to try to hinder you, put obstacles in your way, try to stop you. And he does that by moving upon people that are not born again. But now on social media, he can move on people who are born again, which is crazy. Got us fighting one another. That's crazy. Okay? And the fact is that Jesus is the one that said a house divided cannot stand. A nation divided cannot stand. A people divided cannot stand. And that's exactly what the devil's trying to do. He's trying to divide us. And he knows if he can divide us, he can defeat us. So that's the reason you see all the commotion out there, all the trying to divide us over race. Listen, the answer to race is in Ephesians, the second chapter, when Jesus came to reconcile every single human being on the face of this earth and made us one in Christ Jesus. Made us one. Only Jesus can carry out unity, real unity, true unity, and peace, and loving one another. So he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. By the way, it tells you right there, if you don't have the armor on, my question is, why do you ever take it off? You put it on and leave it on. But pastor, I have to take a shower. This is spiritual, not flesh. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, even though flesh and blood is in this, because that's exactly what he does. And if you want to find the answer to that, it's in Ephesians, the second chapter, verses 1 through 3. It tells you right there. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. Notice the organizational structure. Against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That is what we are praying against concerning our nation. You think you got people praying against the Republicans, people praying against the Democrats. People praying against the libertarians, people praying against the independents. This is not flesh and blood. You are praying against the principalities and the powers and the rulers of darkness and the spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. If you pray for their salvation and they get saved, they will all become one party. Glory to God, wouldn't that be something? Then we would really be the United States of America. Amen. So when we pray, we're praying because we have the keys of the kingdom. Nobody else can pray. Witches and the witches and the wizards and all of those folk, they are praying for bad things. They try to pray against the church. They pray against the nation. They pray bad things. Okay? But we have the keys of the kingdom. And whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. I'm going to tell you this. The keys have not lost their power. It's just that much of the church has hung the keys up on the key rings and are not using them the way we should be using them on a daily basis. And by the way, when it's intercession and prayer and you're doing spiritual warfare, until you see something turn around, it is a daily basis. And do you know that's exactly how Jesus taught his disciples to pray? And when you find it in Matthew, the sixth chapter, when they said, teach us to pray. And he said, okay, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Listen to the next segment. Give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say give us our monthly bread. or our quarterly bread, or our semi-annually bread, or annual bread. He's taught them to pray every single day. Pray and ask God to meet your needs. Every single day you pray and you intercede. And as long as you are seeing the devil in operation and you don't like what you're seeing, the moment that you see something that stirs you up and there's an anger there and you don't like it, you don't like what you're seeing, it's because the Holy Spirit is not liking what He is seeing. It means the Holy Spirit is moving upon your heart not to murmur and complain, not to throw up your hands, throw in the towel, not to get mad and judge people. It's up to you at that point. When you get that irritation on the inside of your spirit, it is there because God's saying, pray, boy, pray. Pray right now. Intercede and pray. You want to see something changed, get into intercession. Get into prayer. And let me just say something. It doesn't happen overnight. The devil is here. He's not going anywhere until God takes him and throws him in the lake of fire. He's going to be here, and his whole mission is to kill, steal, and destroy. His whole mission is to put obstacles, hindrances, and try to stop us from carrying out the gospel. And everything that is being done that you don't like, it's because it has been influenced by the principalities, the powers, and the rulers of darkness. It is an antichrist spirit that is influenced by those demonic spirits. Right here, it is right here. The Bible is true. And if we don't do warfare, stop complaining. Stop complaining. You know, the one thing I found out about people that intercede, they don't complain, they pray. They pray, and they keep on praying. They keep on praying because they believe that God's going to turn it around. We have the keys of the kingdom. You know what the Bible says? You know what it goes on to say? He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Notice he said, you, speaking of the church, the church of Jesus Christ. And now listen to what else he said. This is either true or Jesus is lying. And he's not a man that he should lie. He does not lie. There is no lies in him. He said this, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The gates of hell, the plans, the schemings, the wiles, the devices, the influences cannot prevail against the church unless the church lays down and quits. Then we allow the enemy to prevail. I hope this gets you mad and stirred up where you're going to intercede and you're going to pray. Listen, he says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. We're living in it. Having done all to stand, stand, therefore. 1 Peter the 5th chapter, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith. Resist him. The Bible did not say give in to him. The Bible did not say lay down your weapons or lay down your arms. So the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. 2 Corinthians the 10th chapter verse 3 through 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty, 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 mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. And by the way, intercession is for all people. This is not just for Papa and Mama and Grandpapa. Young folks, man, you got the energy to kick some serious butt. You've got the energy to get in there and let him have it. Matter of fact, the Bible even declares, in when you look at maturity in the Bible, it talks about young children who have just been born again. And then it talks about young men. In other words, there's the teenage years. It says young men, which means young men and young women. It says, because you have overcome the evil one. Man, you get a hold of, I got the keys of the kingdom. I got the name of Jesus. I got intercession. I got the Holy Spirit. Let him have it. Don't just sit back and play video games all day. Get in some serious intercession and watch what happens. It says, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary. Who? Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. How about sickness and disease and infirmity? Where is that coming from? There was none of it until the devil got rule and authority in this earth from Adam. Listen to this. Jesus gave us that information in Luke, the 13th chapter, verse 16. Jesus, this woman had this degenerative disease, and Jesus healed her. And here's what he says, because the religious folks got mad because he healed on the Sabbath. And he said this, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, and you know the Bible says that you're the seed of Abraham. Now watch this. Whom Satan has bound. Who bound her? Whom Satan has bound. Think of it. For 18 years be loose from this bond on the Sabbath. And by the way, what are some of the most powerful tools the devil has against us when he attacks? Fear, worry, anxiety, confusion, to create enough emotional distress that can lead to nervous exhaustion and eventually to a nervous or mental breakdown. And two of his most powerful instruments right now to put us, to get into our heads, to get into our minds, put fear and anxiety and worry is social media and the TV. And so many Christians are sitting there, feed me, feed me, feed me. And can't understand why you act so negatively or you're in so much fear and confusion. Feeding on that which is coming from people that are not even born again. And so many of them had an antichrist spirit, and we take them literally. It's like, well, you know the internet doesn't lie. You need to get saved. Folks, if Satan can get into your head and mess with your thoughts and emotions, he can cause you mental problems and will eventually bring defeat if you give in to his tactics. Things like fear of the future, fear of loss, guilt, shame of your past and present mistakes, declaring that you are not strong enough, your resources are not enough, and you're powerless, or you've messed up so many times, and the idea that you're just no good are some of the weapons that is in his mighty arsenal. One of the things that Pastor David said to me this morning, because it's the Bible. The Bible says, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Some of you don't love yourself. Some of you allow the devil to come into self-hatred. That's the word that Pastor, run up here, Pastor David. Don't walk up here, run up here. Thank you. That's running? Oh my gosh. So he said, I'm healed. So this morning, Pastor David, and I'm stopping this message right now because we're going to pray. And this morning, Pastor David said, God had just dropped in my heart. It's another word of knowledge that there are people either watching or here that you're dealing with self-hatred. You don't know that you may hate yourself, but the way you act, the way you do things is like you don't have any future. There's nothing good out there for you. You don't like yourself. That's a ploy of the devil.
Yeah, what's interesting about this is the Lord actually gave it to me last week. And he said I was struggling with when to give it, and he kept telling me hold on to it. So I've had it all week. Remember I told you Wednesday that the Lord had given me a couple words for this morning, and you had planned to go a whole different direction this morning. And he stopped when he came in this morning and said, the Lord changed my notes this morning. I said, well, I better tell him because the Lord gave me a word to go in a different direction. And as we were praying, as we were worshiping, when so many were involved, and there's such a heavy presence of the Lord and the glory of God was there, the Lord kept saying to my heart, it was about this word, he said, my eyes are on the captives. My eyes are on the captives and the brokenhearted. And that was the word he gave me, because in Luke, the fourth chapter, Jesus stood up and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." I'm going to stop right there, because that's what he was talking about this morning. There's a difference between a captive and a prisoner. A prisoner is someone who, because of unforgiveness, has allowed themselves to legally be put in prison. And they're offended. They're not forgiving. But what the Lord was saying to me was that many people are brokenhearted. You're brokenhearted because you're a captive. And a captive is someone who has had words spoken to them that they were never taught how to break those words. And because those words were spoken to you and you didn't break them, the enemy took them and made a stronghold in your mind. This is exactly what Pastor is preaching about. I didn't even know he was going to go this way this morning. And so what the word the Lord gave me was, and it actually continued this morning when he told me this, was that, and specifically, there's those of you who have been told you're a female, and someone told you, "You look like a boy," or "You act like a boy," or someone, "You're a male," and someone said, you look like a girl," or "You act like a girl," and you never knew how to break those words. Some of you had people that you loved that actually looked you in the eye and said, "I don't love you anymore. Matter of fact, I hate you. You're never going to be anything. You're never going to do anything." And I want you to understand exactly what Pastor is saying. Those were demonic spirits speaking through those people who knew no better than to shut their mouth and not say those words to you. And so what the Lord was telling me this morning is, you are brokenhearted. You are even confused in your spirit, because the enemy built those strongholds up in you. And not only that, if that became a source of unforgiveness, now you've become a prisoner also. But in the midst of all of this worship and the presence of the Lord was saying this morning, "My eyes are on you."
Yes.
The whole time. And I kept thinking, I'm like way off track here this morning, when in fact, that's exactly the way. And I promise you, I did not even look at his notes this morning.
No, my notes didn't come in till early this morning.
Yeah, and I didn't even know. And I'm like, okay, this has been the Lord's heart this whole morning, is for those of you who have had those words spoken to you, they've never been broken over you, and you've become a captive by the stronghold of the enemy in your mind, or you have not been able to forgive that person or those persons, and so you've become a prisoner. Yes. The heart, the eyes of the Lord, the heart of the Lord is with you this morning, and his desire is to set you free this morning.
Pray, pray, pray.
Let's pray.
Pray, pray.
So, Father, in Jesus' name, we just come into agreement with that word right now. And if this word is for you this morning, all you need to simply say in your heart, "We would never embarrass you in this place. We would never, I would not even ask you to lift your hand up in this place because of this." But all you need to do is, in your heart, when I pray over you, just pray and receive in your heart. Just say, "Father, I receive what that man is praying this morning." And just agree in prayer and receive by faith. Just believe it by faith. It doesn't matter if you feel anything. It doesn't matter if you see anything. Because it is the word of God and you believe it by faith, it will be done in Jesus' name. So, Father, I pray for every person that this is for that has been held captive. Father, that people have spoken words against them and they've never been broken. Father, in the name of Jesus, I break every word that's been spoken over them. In the name of Jesus, I break its power. I break its effectiveness over them. And I grab it by the roots and I pull it out of their hearts and out of their life. In the name of Jesus. And Father, for those who have, because of this, that they have become a prisoner and they haven't been able to forgive, Father, I thank you for the grace and the power right now in the heart to say, "I forgive, Father, set me free in Jesus' name." And I just see doors of prisons coming open right now, people being set free, and delivered. I believe that your healing is coming now because of that. There's things in your body. There's things in your life, in your mind, that are going to be set free and healed. And the Lord wants you to know that you have a future, that you have a destiny in Him. And He is drawing you towards your destiny in Him. And even today, even this week, you will begin to see Him in a new light. You will begin to feel His draw to your destiny. You will have a new sense of who you are in Jesus Christ and what He has created you for. This day and this week, we prophesy it, we declare it, we thank you for liberty and freedom. Father, that no longer do we feel like an outcast. No longer do we feel like a captive. No longer do we feel like a prisoner. But we are free. And who the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir. Amen. Amen. That's the reason we don't come to church services. They're planned, structured out. We come to Jesus services. Amen. We interrupt this regularly scheduled sermon. You know, God will, you know this, you hear this all the time. God will leave the 99 to go after the one. And sometimes we become so selfish in, well, this had nothing to do with me. Well, it may not, but don't you care about the man and the woman that it did, that needed to be set free? Amen. Amen. Let's continue. Can y'all stay with me? Y'all have staying power? Are you too hungry? Huh? Some of you need to skip a meal anyway. I'm not going to call any names. I'm not going to say anything. Okay, every single one of us face normal ups and downs, okay, that come with life. Jesus said in John 16:33, He said, in this life, you're going to have trouble. In this life, you are going to have tribulation. Okay, that's a given. Jesus said that. But He said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And at times, the fight of faith can get very intense. That's the reason that Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, he said, Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. And this especially is true when we are hit with unexpected problems, issues, bad reports, problems at home or on the job, disappointment, sickness attacks, or financial struggles. All of us have been mentally knocked down at times, emotionally knocked down at times, physically knocked down at times. Some people become absolutely, completely hopeless and give up because of the lingering problems and never get back up. Some people even contemplate suicide. But listen to what Micah, the 7th chapter, verse 8 says in the Amplified Bible. Do not rejoice over me amid my tragedies, O my enemy. Don't rejoice over me because I've been knocked down. I'm going through some things. Don't you start throwing a party over me, devil. Don't you start bringing out the party utensils and the cake and the ice cream and everything else. Don't start getting like you have won. Don't start acting like it's over with me. Don't rejoice over me, my enemy. When I am down, though I fall, I will rise. Though I fall, I will rise. I will get back up. I am going to get back up in the name of Jesus. Though I sit in darkness of distress, the Lord is light for me. The devil, ladies and gentlemen, is the enemy of your soul. He wages psychological warfare against us. He wants to torment you. He wants to render you ineffective. He wants to stop God's plan in your life and your destiny. But the good news is that you can win this fight. How? Because God will always make a way when there is no way. He will make a way and when there is no way. Listen to the Apostle Paul. Listen, the Apostle Paul went through, he's gone through so many crazy things. Listen to what he says. He says in 2 Corinthians verse 1 and 8, and we can relate to this. Every one of us in this room, every one of us watching can relate to this. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble. And the word trouble means oppression and affliction, which came to us in Asia. That we were burdened, that means that we were weighed down and pressed down. You ever feel like you were weighed down by issues and circumstances and problems in your life? Beyond measure, above strength, beyond measure. In other words, Paul said, my trouble was off the scale. It didn't even register on the scale. The scale was from 0 to 10, I was a 20. He said, so that we despaired. The word despair, they means to renounce all hope, even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. And the word sentence there means a judicial decision. And you know who the prosecutor is? It's the devil. It's demonic spirits. They will come unrelentlessly to attack you in your mind, saying all kinds of crazy things to you, putting all kinds of thoughts on the inside of you. And he says, yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves. In other words, Paul was saying, it looked like we thought we had lost all hope. It looked like that it was over for us. It looked like that there was no way out for us. It looked like that this was the end of my journey. It looked like that I was not going to be able to fulfill everything that God has put in my heart. It looked like my dreams were over. It looked like my calling was over. It looked like my destiny had come to an end. That's what it looked like. But then he says that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from such a great death and does deliver us, in whom we trust, and he will still deliver us. You also helping together for prayer for us. That's the reason we pray for one another. That's the reason we intercede, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf. In other words, what you're going through, the situation that you're facing, you're going to come out of this. I'm telling you, you're going to give thanks. You're going to give glory to God. You're coming out of this. Why? Because we don't trust in ourselves. Who do we trust in? Listen to this. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. The word there, He shall direct your path, means this. He will make a way where there was no way. Let me say this to you. When the children of Israel came to the Red Sea, He was not going to make a way. The Bible says in Psalms 106, He had already made a way. He had already put a road underneath that He knew they were going to be there. He knows where you're at. He knows the trouble that you're in. And He is the one who makes a way. Nobody else can make a way. The doctor can't make a way. But He can make away. Can you say amen?
How many of you have someone that's autistic in your family? You raise your hand. Autism. The word was about autism, that God is healing autism. Amen. The word the Lord said to my heart, He said that, I understand that autism is a real condition, but it's the enemy has been using this to try to sideline the next generation. And so, Father, if this is for you, raise your hand and receive it for your family. Covenant Love, receive it for them. Intercede for them right now. Father, we break the spirit of autism in our children right now. Father, every part, every family that's represented here that has a family member or a child that has autism, Father, we break that spirit and we thank you. We believe that nothing is impossible, that these strongholds are coming down in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you, Jesus, set them free, deliver them, heal them in the name of Jesus, that we will see their future, we will see their destiny, we will see a change now, a turnaround now happening in their lives. We will not allow this generation to be sidelined by the disease of autism. We break the spirit of it, we break its power, and we declare healing in Jesus' name. Come on, give God praise this morning.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lord. See? This is where you take that word. This is where you take that word. And according to Proverbs, the third chapter, you said, Father, I trust in you and I trust in that word. And then it says, lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him. Father, I acknowledge you that my child is healed. I acknowledge you that the memory of the just is blessed. I acknowledge you that my child has a mind of Christ. I acknowledge you that my child is set free. My child is delivered. I acknowledge you, Lord. I acknowledge you that I am healed. I acknowledge you, Father. I acknowledge you. Said in all your ways, acknowledge him. The Bible says, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. And he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. That's where our trust is. You don't put your trust in anything other than God. Amen? You put your trust in anything else and it becomes an idol. You put your trust in God. Trust in God. Even when doctors are doing what they can, you trust in God for wisdom. You trust in God for success. You trust in God. You trust in God in everything. Can you say amen? 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 Praise the Lord.